You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. I'm sure you've noticed, but in the daily coverage of the auto industry bailout cliffhanger, every day we've had another tortured metaphor where the auto industry is in need of a haircut or is in need of a sort of electroshock to save the patient. Well, today is a day to kind of turn the linguistic tables on economic coverage because perhaps in describing the meeting of the Federal Reserve today, we can use an automotive metaphor to describe what's going on there. The central bank is going to wrap up 2 days of deliberations with an announcement on a key interest rate. Basically, the Fed is lifting up the hood of the economy and seeing if there's any levers it can pull to stimulate lending in the economy. And analysts are looking for a reduction of a half percentage point from the current 1% interest rate. Lowering the interest rate is a lever the Fed pulls to stimulate the economy. Joining me to talk about decision day for the Fed is Dan Gross, who's a senior editor at Newsweek. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John.
Is this a big day? Are you like on pins and needles, or is this something for the statisticians?
It's a little early for pins and needles. Maybe some just blunter pins.
Blunt pins. Rods and needles.
Look, at this point, things are so telegraphed that the announcements are, I don't want to say anticlimactic, but it's not like we're going to get big surprises. We know what's going on in the economy. We know what the data points are, and we know that we're going to get a interest rate cut.
But what we don't know is the uncharted waters that we are in as the Federal Reserve's interest rate, key interest rate, gets down close to zero. And to help us to negotiate these waters, we've asked Vincent Reinhart to join us. He's a former director of monetary policy of the Federal Reserve. He's also a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Vincent, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
So you have written, and in a paper co-authored by none other than Ben Bernanke, about what happens when the Fed gets down close to zero. It really begins to run out of traditional options for stimulating the economy when the interest rate gets so low. First of all, are we close to having no more levers? And secondly, what new levers do we have to find?
So we're close to having no more traditional levers in terms of the federal funds rate. The federal funds rate right now is 1 percentage point. That means they can cut it 50 basis points twice. That's about it. But there are many other things that a central bank can do when it's in the neighborhood of the zero bound to nominal interest rates.
Well, let's talk about some of those. And are we likely to see that in the fine print of the Fed announcement, which comes at about quarter after 2 or 2:30 this afternoon? You've mentioned one in a paper that you wrote that I actually scanned through last night. That would be the federal government purchasing large amounts of financial assets to boost interest rates or boost economic activity elsewhere in the economy. How does that work?
So the Federal Reserve's already doing that. And in fact, an announcement about the interest rate, whether they cut it 50 basis points as everybody expects or whether they do it more, isn't particularly interesting. What's interesting is will they admit that they're now in an era of non-traditional policy action? For the last 2 months, the Federal Reserve has significantly increased the size of its balance sheet. Your central bank has a $2 trillion balance sheet. In doing so, they put a lot more reserves into the banking system than it is necessary to keep the federal funds rate at its target of 1%. In fact, the federal funds rate, that's the overnight price of reserves, has been trading around, you know, an eighth of 1 percentage point for the last month.
And indeed, T-bills yields, are close to zero. There's a lot of sort of zero interest rate financing in the economy, yet for consumers and for other areas of the economic system, there is not the confidence to free up money for broad lending, for corporate and other economic activities. Why?
Because that easing hasn't passed through to broader markets, mainly because the firms at the very center of our global trading system, the large complex financial institutions, are really scared, and they're trying to conserve their balance sheet. They have bad assets. That's put a hole into their capital positions. So they're all hunkering down. They're not making new commitments. They're not supporting market activity. They're not making new loans.
And, Vincent, in terms of trying to ease that fear, you say or you argue that the Treasury has been inconsistent in the policies it's put forth. Do you want to explain how and what you think they should be doing?
So that's a discouraging story. We gave our Secretary of Treasury unprecedented authorities to buy assets. Remember that two government-sponsored enterprises, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, are under government control. The TARP is $700 billion. The secretary could have bought assets in volume and supported the price. Instead, he acted inconsistently and added in uncertainty to already an uncertain time. And the net effect was to deter private capital from coming into the financial sector. And if private capital doesn't come in, the government's going to have to replace it. That's the position we're in now.
Just reminding people of the bidding. I mean, they put their toe in the water on distressed assets, then pulled their toe out. Then they said they were going to buy equity in banks, which they actually started to do. The Fed actually did put $500 billion or so behind Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and that had a real effect on mortgage rates. But now, you know, we're talking about reducing the interest rate once again. If confidence is a problem, how is explicitly saying today, as the Federal Reserve, you say, is likely to say, that we're in uncharted waters, we're in non-traditional zone? I mean, isn't that going to be translated by the economy as like abandoned ship?
The other way to say it is, don't worry, we have a lot more tools at our disposal. We have an unlimited central bank. We are willing, unlimited balance sheet. We are willing to increase the amount of reserves. We're willing to accumulate assets, and we will continue to do so until our policy action gets traction.
Okay, let's just test, Vincent, how this is working. Dan Gross, is that reassuring to you?
I think so. Yeah, look, you know, Mr. Reinhart and Bernanke wrote a paper in 2004 that they presented that talked about not just what the Fed actually does in the short term, but shaping interest rate expectations in the future. And I guess I'm curious as to what we should be looking for to how the Fed would shape that. Is it the body language of Bernanke? Is it the rhetoric he uses? Is it his reputation for being a scholar of the Great Depression and someone who's concerned about deflation? When we're looking to shape these expectations, which is an important component about it, because it's not just about what people are going to do today. It's they're thinking, what should I be doing 3-6 months from now?
Oh, got it. Great. That's great.
What should we be looking for?
Where do we look to feel better, Vincent?
So you first look in today's statement to see that the Federal Reserve acknowledges that it isn't just today's interest rate that matters anymore, that it will use its balance sheet, both the size and its composition, now and into the future to support economic activity. This is a turning point for the Federal Reserve. It now is its chance to acknowledge that it's in this new territory. Also remember that in monetary policy world, January and February is very busy. There's lots of testimonies. There's a semi-annual report that goes to the Congress in mid-February. So what I think what will happen is today they'll indicate they're turning the boat, and then over the next month or two they'll give you more details about exactly how explicit they will be in, among other things, shaping expectations.
Well, that all sounds fine, but I'm looking at your paper that you wrote with Ben Bernanke, Vincent, and also Brian Sack. And one of the cautionary tales in that paper is that Japan spent years down around the so-called zero boundary of extremely low interest rates. And it meant a decade-long recession, or at least a stagnation in that country. How do we avoid the Japanese scenario here?
So there's good news and bad news. The good news is the Japanese didn't embrace the authorities they had until very late in the game. When they brought interest rates down to zero, they kept talking about how those rates were abnormally low and how it was very important to correct those expectations. And that's exactly the point about shaping expectations that Mr. Gross just made. If you keep talking about how you're going to have to pull rates back up pretty soon, like the Japanese did, you don't get as much traction for the rate cut you do make. So expectations are important. Bad news is, we think we have a lot of tools at a central bank's disposal in terms of the size and composition of its balance sheet and its ability to shape expectations. They're basically untried. That's why there's more uncertainty.
More uncertainty.
And that's why, among other things, the Federal Reserve was so aggressive in the second half of this year in lowering the federal funds rate, because it didn't really want to get in this position.
And now it's in the new toolbox. Well, Vincent, I saw you getting battered around on CNBC last night. I hope you feel a little more comfortable getting your say here on our program.
It's never a good experience.
It's never a good experience. Right? Well, thanks for joining The Takeaway. Vincent Reinhart is a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute and a former Federal Reserve official. Dan Gross, are you reassured by that? It sounds like they're dipping into a whole new tool case today.
I think the great problem with the past year is that the traditional moves have not worked. We cut interest rates, which is what the Fed is supposed to do, but instead of getting passed through to consumers, banks basically absorb that to cover all their losses.
Well, hold on, Dan. We're gonna stay with you, and we're going to test those new levers definitely all week long. Dan Gross is a senior editor at Newsweek joining us here on The Takeaway. Thanks, Dan.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.